you want. All you have to do, dial in toll-free at 855-453. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, 1-855-450-3733. You can join us on our website over at freetalklive.com and enjoy the features that awaits you there. Once again, that's freetalklive.com. You actually can control the content of the site by submitting things to it. So you find something online that you think is interesting or useful or fun or whatever, and our other listeners will vote as whether or not they like it or dislike it, and the most liked will make it to the front page and the top of the site over at freetalklive.com. So head over there, get interactive, and joining you here in the studio tonight, it's Ian,
JJ,
and Mark.
And so, of course, we'll talk to you about whatever might happen to be on your mind. Also, all kinds of stuff in the news to discuss, including a number of police-related stories. Mark, you're going to tell us at some point here about the drug dogs and how successful or not so much they are when it comes to actually detecting drugs. Plus, on the way, JJ has news about, I believe it was the cops that were hurting people during the Hurricane Katrina aftermath.
That's right, New Orleans.
So there's some news in regards to that. Also, speaking of drug dogs, Illinois, there's a traffic stop there, according to Radley Balco, that has raised some concerns about drug searches, police dogs, and bad cops. According to HuffingtonPost.com, last December, filmmaker Terrence Huff and his friend John Seaton were returning to Ohio after attending a Star Trek convention in St. Louis. As they passed through,
sound like a bunch of ruffians.
As they passed through a small town in Illinois, a police officer, Michael Reichert, pulled Huff's red PT Cruiser over to the side of the road, allegedly for an unsafe lane change. Over the next hour, Reichert interrogated the two men, employing a variety of police tactics that civil rights attorneys say were aimed at tricking them into giving up their Fourth Amendment rights.
No way. That's not possible.
Reichert? I'm not sure. R-E-I-C-H-E-R-T?
I said Reichert when I read it to myself.
Michelle. The officer conducted a sweep of Huff's car with a canine dog, then searched Huff's car by hand. Ultimately, he sent Huff and Seaton on their way with a warning. Earlier this month, Huff posted to YouTube audio and video footage of the stop taken from Reichert's dashboard camera. No shots were fired in the incident. No one was beaten, arrested, or even handcuffed. Reichert found no measurable amount of contraband in Huff's car, but Huff's 17-and-a-half-minute video raises important questions about law enforcement and the criminal justice system, including the Fourth and Fifth Amendments, the drug war, profiling, and why it's so difficult to take problematic cops out of the police force. The stop happened December 4th on Interstate 70 in Collinsville, a town of 26,000 people just outside of St. Louis. Law enforcement officials say this stretch of highway is a drug trafficking corridor. The account, which highways aren't drug trafficking corridors?
Right. I mean, you know, if a highway runs through your little town and you can make money by pulling people over, and, you know, there's all kinds of different ways they make money, but, you know, whether it's fines, whether it's asset confiscations, taking cash from people, all these things are happening around the United States. And if that's all your little town has, it's an asset. It's a mine that only police can mine.
And if you call it a drug trafficking corridor, then all of a sudden it becomes more justifiable to search cars there.
Well,
they're
terrorists. Right. I mean, it's just a use of the terminology to be able to get away with doing whatever you want.
And there's certainly a pride thing with police. Once they've decided that, well, this guy's got to have something, you know, then they pursue it, you know, like a hard-nosed detective, and he's going to find whatever it is you have. Well, he doesn't have anything. Oh. Well, here's a stern warning. Go on your way. It's a drug corridor.
They're lucky they got a warning and that all of a sudden drugs didn't appear in their vehicle due to an upset law enforcement.
Well, yeah, if they'd have been mean to him or something like that, maybe that would have happened.
Right.
I mean, try to imagine if this is the circumstance where instead of it's, you know, three Trekkies that are, you know, being rather compliant, it's somebody who's upset with their day being, you know, wasted by this bureaucrat who's on a fishing mission, and they cuss him out and that kind of thing. This happened to me once. I was coming across the border from Canada into the United States, and the police wanted to run a dog through my van, and I cussed him up one inside and down the other when that dog went after my Cheetos. And, you know, I mean, I was living in the van. I was on a you know, 3-month trip around the United States. I was, you know, sleeping in the van and touring and doing all these things. And they've got this dog on my bed eating my Cheetos. And, you know, if I would have...
They probably thought it was hilarious.
I don't know. They didn't seem like they thought it was hilarious at that time. Yeah. But they, you know, they got out of there and got done quickly. But, you know, it could have gone a completely different way.
Absolutely.
Well,
so,
police can lie to people outright.
That's right.
So, in this case here, is it conceivable that the officer just basically lied his way to getting some sort of compliance? Is that sort of...
We're
going
to give you details on what happened here. After pulling Huff over, Richard approaches his car and asks him for his license, registration, proof of insurance. Huff complies. Richard then asks Huff to step out of the car because he says he can't hear him over the noise from the highway. Huff complies. Before talking to Huff, Richard asks Seaton for ID as well, which Seaton isn't obligated to produce, but does. Richard then tells Huff that he pulled him over for weaving across lanes. By the way, this isn't legal advice, but I think Balco's correct. It's at least been my experience. Passengers have no obligation to provide identification. The police will always go for it, though. I mean, they will always ask you for it if you've got passengers in the car. And that's because they want to run everybody's name. They want to see if anybody's got a warrant out for their arrest. And even if it's a warrant that, you know, is for nonsense.
Yeah.
It's a total fishing expedition. And so, no, please, if you are sitting in someone's car, do not give your identification over to them, just as a reminder.
But what do you say? I mean, you have to be prepared with...
You don't have to say anything to them. If you're sitting in the back of a car, you don't have to speak. And what happened...
What do you do, look at them in sort of a surly manner?
Well, when a cop asks me questions, I just ignore the questions I don't want to answer. Or I'll tell them I'm doing what you already asked me to do. So when I got pulled over for getting a speeding ticket, she asked me for my license and registration, and I actually had I just got my car back not too long prior to that, and somebody had cleaned my car, because I think it was you, JJ, and it was great, by the way. Y'all had cleaned my car out, but the registration had moved from one place to another. It wasn't where I thought it was, so I had to dig around for it. And while I was digging for my registration, she was asking me questions about my address and asking me, you know, some other question. It's like, you asked me for my registration. I'm getting that for you right now. And I just focused on that one task, because I don't want to be answering questions while I'm trying to do something. She's trying to distract me, basically, and get information out of me.
I think that I would ask that officer if is that an order? That you're, you know, you ask them if they're ordering you to give over the information or asking.
No, I wouldn't ask about that, because a lot of times they'll tell you it's an order.
Then you say, I don't think that's a lawful order, and I'm going to need to talk to my attorney. I'll get back to you after I'm done speaking to my attorney. And then when you don't pick up your cell phone, they ask you about that. You say, well, you know, it'll be, he's not going to be in the office till Monday.
Okay, that's not a bad approach. But when she asked the passengers, because I had a full car of people when I got pulled over for their identifications, I took the reins as the driver, and I said, yeah, I don't think that you can ask, you know, I don't think they have to give that to you, is what I told her. And no one did. And it was fine. But these gentlemen did. Richard then tells Huff that he pulled him over for weaving across lanes. Huff says in his video...
Now, this is often one of those things that will be said, is, you know, the weaving inside the lane, or, mm-hmm. you know, too many lane changes and that kind of thing. I mean, if a cop is sitting still, how are they going to tell how many lanes you've changed?
Huff says in his video this is a fabrication, but he didn't challenge Richard's claim at the time because he said I was from out of state and I didn't want any trouble. After running a check on Huff's license, Richard tells Huff he'll let him off with a warning, and the two men shake hands. Legally, Huff is now free to go, but just as Huff is set to get back in his car, Richard says, let me ask you a question real quick. Huff agrees. It's here that Richard adds, seemingly as an afterthought, that Seaton appeared nervous and apprehensive. He then asks Huff a series of what law enforcement officers called rolling no questions about whether Huff is transporting any drugs, weapons, or cash. Huff says no to each. In his interview with Huffington Post, Huff asks, if he thought John was nervous and that might indicate drug activity, why did he wait so long to bring it up? And why did he wait until he basically told me I could go? According to John Rakowski, the public defender of Madison County, it's a common tactic.
Yeah, this is very common. You are free to go, but it doesn't feel like you are.
Officer Reischer thinks he's doing something legally significant there. He thinks he's establishing that everything that happens after the handshake is consensual, because after that, Huff was technically free to go. But of course, he isn't free to go. We'll come back with more about what happened in this situation, 855-453, and what it all means for your freedom 855-450-3733. More about the police pulling you over, because you could be next. This is Free Talk Live.
JaxDice.com.
Where you can buy, sell, or make a deal.
JaxDice.com.
Turn into the house of Bob.
JaxDice.com.
And what if you could watch ads and get paid for it?
JaxDice.com. JaxDice is...
Here on Free Talk Live, we've been pretty excited about the Bitcoin. It's a decentralized, free market digital currency. You can learn more about it at weusecoins.com. But if you already have some Bitcoins and you'd like to spend them, you can spend them at spendbitcoins.com. When you spend Bitcoins on Amazon via spendbitcoins.com, Free Talk Live gets a cut. Or if you're an Australian trying to figure out how to buy Bitcoins, you can buy them with cash at au.spendbitcoins.com. Once again, that's spendbitcoins.com.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschnabel from Midas Resources. As you know, the federal government spending is at an all-time high, and inflation will be a direct result of the spending policy. European government and central bank spending policies have put the European Union on the brink of collapse. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? Are your assets working for you or against you? One thing is certain. Having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens to our economy or the dollar, your investment will never be worthless. And it'll protect you from that hidden tax, inflation. If you've been thinking about investing in physical possession of precious metals or having an IRA in precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel, at 800-686-2237, extension 108. And I'll take the time to personally put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call 800-686-2237, extension 108. You've worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call Peter at 800-686-2237, extension 108.
If you are a sales professional and you love to help people and make money, stop everything and listen to me now. InspectorAudit.com is hiring brokers nationwide. InspectorAudit.com is the primary source for exposing all loan-related bank and servicing fraud. If you're passionate, driven to succeed, and you want to earn real money, then we want you. Call InspectorAudit.com right now at 855-552-9932. InspectorAudit.com, 855-552-9932. Commissions paid daily.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, TerraGanix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Now, more Free Talk Live. Dial in at 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything that you want. Toll-free number, 855-453. The SACL CAI toll-free line, 1-855-450-3733. And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The bulletin board system awaits you, where you can get interactive with other Free Talk Live listeners. You can also grab our show notes from each night. It's all there and free, like everything is on our site, bbs.freetalklive.com. Get you there.
Join more than a million people who've used LegalZoom.com for their common legal documents. Incorporate your business, create your will or a living trust, even register a trademark. Whatever sorts of common legal documents that you need, LegalZoom.com has them. They're fast, they're easy, and they're very affordable. I filled out my will there at LegalZoom.com, and this is something you've got to have. If you've got a family, you either have a will or you're trusting the government to take care of your family. And that's not a group of people that I was willing to trust. LegalZoom.com. Use coupon code FTL to save $10 on your order. It's LegalZoom.com, coupon code FTL.
So we're talking about a pullover that happened on the way back from a Star Trek convention, apparently, to a couple of Trekkies who were from Illinois. They'd visited St. Louis, and they were on their way back, still in Missouri at the time when it happened.
It's highly illogical.
Yeah.
Inconceivable!
In a small town. That's
Princess Bride.
Princess Bride. So this happened in Collinsville, a town of 26,000 people just outside of St. Louis. They were pulled over by a police officer who basically asks them what they call rolling no questions. Questions like, are you transporting any drugs, weapons, or cash, etc. And this, by the way, happens after they've been pulled over and he's given a warning for improper lane changes. And the officer then allows him to go, but then says something to the effect of, oh yeah, and one more thing, he says. Or he says, let me ask you a question real quick. And as is pointed out here by the public defender for Madison County, which is where this took place, he says that it's a common tactic, this sort of after-the-fact kind of question. He says that Officer Richard thinks he's doing something legally significant. He thinks he's establishing that everything that happens after the handshake is consensual, because after that, Huff, the driver, was technically free to go. But of course he isn't free to go. If Huff had ignored Richard's let me ask you a question real quick, gotten into his car and driven off, Rakowski says, there's no way that the officer would have let him leave. And in Illinois,
It's impossible to say what the officer would or wouldn't have done in that circumstance. If the officer is trying to establish that, a legally significant situation, he may very well have let him leave because that's the game that's being played. But you can imagine what it's like for that individual. Now, you have to take this step by step. You have to understand the power paradigm going on in this situation. If you refuse to pull your vehicle over for the individual with the flashing blue lights on top of his car, they will bring a whole bunch of other individuals with flashing blue lights to bear on you.
Derek J. found out last week, he's in jail for that now.
At some point or another, they will shoot at your car to take the tires out. They will ram your car. They will use violence like you've never experienced in your life. They will bring the full hand of the state down to crush you. So that is just what you've experienced. Now,
right.
At any point until that handshake goes on, and by the way, nobody knows when you're allowed to leave and when you're not. It's very ambiguous.
Well, you can always say, ambiguous. Am I free to go?
Right. Now, that's the best way to do it. The only thing you should be saying to a police officer is, am I being detained? Am I free to go?
Right. That's what I would ask if I were in that situation. Oh, let me ask you one more thing. I might be curious to hear what his next thing would be, but I would otherwise say, if he did ask that question, I would say, well, am I free to go? And then at that point, I would leave.
And, before you're free to go, whatever that moment in time, the police officer decides that you're free to go. Some arbitrary moment in time that this guy with the badge and the blue lights says that you're free to go, the same thing will happen. That full force of the state will crush upon you. So that moment that he decides in his mind and doesn't really tell you, there's some, maybe he's done this handshake or whatever. Until that moment, then, at that moment, you're free to go, and supposedly he's just another individual on the street, right? So you can see why people are absolutely positively confused by this situation. And this is how the state plays the game and how they win on a regular basis. Because, the cop says, oh, yeah, he was free to go. I had finished the contact or whatever. He had given the piece of paper. Basically, when you get that piece of paper from him, the paperwork's done, mm-hmm. and you're allowed to go. And you don't have to speak to him or anything
right.
like that. Now, I don't necessarily recommend not saying polite things. I think it's always a fine... No, actually, I'm in a hurry. Top of the morning to you.
Yeah.
And hop in your car and go.
Exactly.
Or, you know, I'm sorry. Am I being detained? Remember, that's the whole, am I being detained?
A lot of people just don't understand the situation when they're dealing with police officers. They don't understand the choices they have, I think, to a large degree. There's a lot of mysticism or mystery around the police.
Of course. You don't learn this stuff in school.
Of course. Right. The place that you'd expect to learn it or to learn something about it would be the public school system, which is run by the state. I mean, it should know something about itself. But at the same time, there's not a whole lot of effort by
people would they want to do that?
To learn more about police or to learn about these encounters.
But they think that they've learned it on television, you know,
which is a terrible idea.
Oh, it is terrible.
Anything you see on Cops is them showing you what they want you to see. You'll never see someone refuse a search on Cops. You'll always see people giving in. You'll always see people consenting. And of course, in popular Hollywood culture, that's what you see in movies as well. Everyone always opens the door for the police. They always talk to the police. Of course, I mean, it's part of the plot, right? So, but no, in real life, you don't have to, as you know, again, I'm not a lawyer, but as I understand it, in real life, you don't have to do that. You don't have to answer the door. You do have to pull over for them. Otherwise, as you said, Mark, they will shoot you, perhaps run you off the road, beat you. You'd be lucky to walk away from that.
Right.
But besides pulling over for them when you're on a bike or in a car, if they come up to your front door, if they want in, they're going to bash the door in. They're going to, you know, do whatever they want.
They'll
if they're
in.
Just knocking, then you have no reason to talk to them. Unless you called them there. In which case, I still wouldn't recommend you talk to them. You shouldn't be calling the police if you can avoid it. Because we've seen there's plenty of stories where someone will call the police innocently, thinking the police are going to come and help them, and they end up helping them into a hospital bed or behind bars.
Yep.
It does happen.
So we're going to continue here with this story, because there's a lot of detail, there's a lot of important points to get out. Of course, you can also call in about whatever's on your mind. So we're going to go to your phone calls as well. We'll recap this as necessary to keep it going. Richard's on the line listening in Ontario. You're on Free Talk Live, Richard.
Hey, guys. Thanks for
Hey, what's on your mind tonight?
I just wanted to call because you guys were talking yesterday about passports and entrance requirements to other countries and stuff like that.
Yes, sir.
And when it comes to Canada, you're right that we have kind of like a war on driving under the influence, kind of like how there's a war on drugs in the States. So if a person was charged with a DUI in the States, it is a lot harder for them to get into Canada. But for any Canadian listeners who might be listening right now and are concerned about passports, our passport agency, they do everything based on client reliance. So basically what that means is that if you don't provide the information to them, then they don't know the information about you.
So does that mean that you can just opt out of filling out certain parts of the passport form in Canada?
Not necessarily. It's funny because I've called in before. I'm the guy who used to work at who currently works at the birth certificate office, but I also used to work for the passport office here in Canada.
Well, tell me more in a moment here, because I'm not sure where you're going with this. So we'll come back to you here, Richard. Passports, 855-453. You can bring up whatever's on your mind. Take control of the airwaves. It's Free Talk Live.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
A healthy heart starts with Extendovite. I've always believed that I had to have a strong defense to overcome the new superbugs of today. Extendivite, a 7-herb heart protection cocktail, not only helped me to overcome a massive heart attack, but it also has built up my natural immune defenses against colds and flus. Extendivite has so many benefits that we all should be taking Extendivite to build up our defenses for what superbugs might emerge yet. So start today, clean out the toxins, and be as healthy as you can be. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dried guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes 6 number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every meat eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our 1-year plus meat eaters units at freezedryguy.com And hey, the freeze-dry guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Attention, information in this one-minute message could save your life. Don't wait for the next emergency to happen. Act now to be prepared. Now, more than ever, civilians and communities must communicate with family, friends, and neighbors in the event of civil unrest, natural disasters, or other emergencies. That's why there's CivilDispatch.com. CivilDispatch.com is a universal system that can be used for a wide array of urgent notification alerts. Weather emergencies, civil unrest, emergency responders, amber alerts, school or business closings, any need-to-know situation. CivilDispatch.com is an emergency dispatch communication system, allowing anyone to quickly and easily send and instantaneously track emergency email and text alert notifications. CivilDispatch.com gives you the power of enterprise alerting without the enterprise cost. Don't find yourself unprepared. Learn more and become a member at CivilDispatch.com. That's CivilDispatch.com, civilian emergency dispatch system. Peace through preparedness.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with 4 of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in now, 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Toll-free, 855-453. It's the SACL CAI toll-free line, 1-855-450-3733. Join us on our website at freetalklive.com. We give you the features there. You can enjoy them for free. And that includes the mobile site. So if you've got a smartphone, you can go to m.freetalklive.com, get quick access to our live streams and the podcast there. M as in mobile.freetalklive.com. Also at the mobile site, we'll link you to various different listening software for different phone operating systems. So whether you've got an Android phone or an iPhone or I guess some people still have the Blackberries and Palms and such. There's various different listening software there. Of course, TuneIn is probably the best that I have found, and it's available across all the platforms. So that's one of the easiest ways to get tuned into Free Talk Live online. And once again, go to m as in mobile.freetalklive.com. Now, if you are experiencing court, you know how awful it can be. And you know, if you can't afford an attorney, it's really tough. I mean, it's really tough to go in court and handle things by yourself. But with a little bit of information, you can make a big difference in court.
Yeah, you have to at least know how to do things when you get there. The jurisdictionary course is a 4-CD course that's so easy the average 8th grader can learn it in a weekend. It will teach you how to, you know, make the motions you need to be able to make the objections, upon what grounds to make objections. You know, of course, moving the court's very important. If you don't know the tricks and how to play the game, then you're just they're going to run circles around you. You're never going to have a chance. Jurisdictionary.com, you can go there. You can get an immediate download, or they'll send you the 4-CD course in the mail. It costs less than an hour with any good attorney. Works in, you know, for plaintiffs or defendants in civil or criminal matters, state or federal courts. You can go to jurisdictionary.com. They've got all kinds of free help there for you. And when you buy the course, remember to use the pull-down menu to mention Free Talk Live. It's jurisdictionary.com.
All right, so we're going to continue. We'll talk more about police pullovers and their tactics that they use here in a few moments. Also, we'll take your calls about whatever's on your mind. Richard is listening in Ontario. Now, Richard, you said you had worked in the passport office there in Canada previously, and you were talking about passport requirements and filling out the form to get the passport. Something about how they only know what you give them, and so you don't have to give them. Where were you going with that?
Well, I just wanted to back up what Marcus said yesterday when he said when you cross the border, if they ask you, you know, have you committed any felonies or anything like that, and if the person says no, I'm not sure exactly how it works with the border, but when it comes to when you fill out that application form for a passport, the information that you provide is the information that's on file. Like the databases say that with Interpol or with the police forces, they don't exactly match up with what is obtained by the passport issuing offices. So if you were to go in to get a passport and you just provided made-up information, it's not like they're going to be doing background checks or anything like that. That information does go on your file, but it's used to when they do what's called a guarantor check, because in Canada when
called
you get a passport,
what?
A guarantor check?
Guarantor check, okay.
Yeah, at one point in time in Canada when you wanted to get a passport, you had to get your doctor or a lawyer or somebody of a higher profession to sign your application form for you.
to let you go out of the country. It's so incredible. And people say that you know, slavery's gone from the Western world. These governments believe they own you. I'll grant you that their plantations are large, but if you've got to have somebody who's better than you sign a piece of paper,
go to your lord and have him sign off.
Right? I mean, you know, what is this different than, you know, traveling papers from the Middle Ages?
Well, it has since been changed because, like I said, at one point you have to get a doctor, lawyer, pharmacist, or somebody like that. But now anybody who's had a passport, a Canadian passport, can sign your application form for you as being your guarantor. So when you provide information such as, like, your employment history, even on the Canadian application form, it asks for, like, the color of your eyes, your height, and stuff like that. They expect your guarantor to know that information about you in order to verify you say who you are. So, for example, if a person signed for me and if for some reason they did a guarantor check on me, ideally that person should know what I do for a living, you know, if I have brown hair or blonde hair or whatever the information is provided on the application.
Hmm.
It's not necessarily linked up with police agencies or anything like that. It's mainly used for verification that the person is who they say they are when they issue the passport to them and do the verification check.
And so they just take whatever information you give them. Here in 2012, with computers and all these things, the passport office doesn't know anything but what you provide them?
Well, when you go to the passport office and you get a passport, you have to provide all of the documentation about yourself. And the main piece of documentation that you need is your birth certificate.
Right.
Your birth certificate doesn't have a picture on it. It doesn't have your address on it. It doesn't have your phone number, nothing about you on it.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, if you find a birth certificate and you make up a really good story about that person, it's not that hard to get a passport with somebody else's name and your
photo. So if you turn in a birth certificate that's totally falsified, in theory, and the birth certificate's got a number on it, it's got a location. In theory, if the passport office wanted to, they could call up the Office of Health Statistics or whatever they're called that issues these birth certificates and verify it. You're saying that doesn't happen?
Not very often, no. They could do it, but when you consider that, especially after the Western Hemisphere Travel Initiative, where the United States required Canadian citizens to have passports to enter the border, there was such an influx that there wasn't really checks being done on every single person. We were just going by the information that was provided to us when I worked for the passport office.
So how often would a check be done? I mean,
ballpark range, I'd say one out of maybe 50 or so. 50
one in 50.
Yeah, it's really not all that secure as you think it is. Like, it's not that in-depth of a process. Of course, I'm only speaking from Canadian terms. I don't know how it is in the States with the
All right, and think about this. Now that I'm following this this concept a little bit better, if you were to send in a fake birth certificate into the passport office, then how would they find out who you were? Like if it didn't have your name on it, and they did the check on it, and they said, oh, this John Smith looks like he wasn't born on this date at all. In fact, the Office of Vital Statistics doesn't have any information on John Smith from Medford, Oregon. And then what are they going to do? Send the cops to that location and try to find John Smith? That's not who the person is.
Well, and you say a fake birth certificate. Now, do you mean a fake birth certificate or somebody else's birth certificate? Like something I made in Photoshop or something that I stole or found from somebody?
I mean a fake one, like something that you just made up.
There are ways to verify that birth certificates are real. There's ultraviolet lights and stuff like that, and security features. But what I'm saying is that if you break into someone's house or find a wallet on the ground that has a birth certificate in it, mm-hmm. and say that that person doesn't have a passport, it really wouldn't be very hard to take that person's birth certificate and get a passport with their name and your photo. That's what
if
saying.
They're dead?
That's going to be hard because there's a date on there.
Same thing. Like the records don't really match up as much as people that they do. Especially
I bet they don't.
In Ontario.
Yeah, but okay. So as far as the birth certificate security features, I mean, how often are you holding those up to blacklight when you're at the passport office?
Actually, all desks have a blacklight on them that you can click on and put the birth certificate underneath.
I find it very difficult to believe that in 1971, the piece of paper, the notarized copy of the birth certificate that my mother got for her little bundle of joy, is any kind of security features other than the raised pieces of bits from the notary.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's really all it is. I mean, there's raised type on it, and in Ontario, our birth certificates are printed on paper that is similar to what money is printed on, so it has. You know, little security features, like the paper is a certain way and there's micro-printing and stuff like that.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's all. I just wanted to back up what Mark was saying. That, you know,
ultimately, what we need to have is somebody on the inside of the birth certificate office to just issue birth certificates without any of the requirements attached to it. That's the best way to go about
it. I get paid way too much to do something like that.
Yeah.
But what's the, what's the point, though? I have a state-issued passport, and at this point, the brown shirts haven't come and drug me away. I mean, you know, you don't get freedom by getting a fake passport, Ian. There's no value
to it. The point would be, if you're trying to leave the country through some sort of legitimate channels, to not have your name being on the passport. Like, if they wanted you for some reason and you were trying to escape the country, you don't want to walk up to security and say, here I am.
Just
you don't
leave
do
the
that.
Country. Don't get wanted.
I tend to agree with, well, if you leave the country through non-traditional channels, then that's one thing. If you just run across the border, that's one way to do it, which is probably the easiest way. Anyway, thanks, Richard, for the call and the information. Appreciate hearing from you, man. 855-453 is the SACL CAI toll-free line. You can take control of the airwaves. This is Free Talk Live.
Several days after the Patriot Act was passed, a printed version was made available for Congress to read. Yes, I said several days after the Patriot Act was passed. But that's not unusual. Congress routinely passes bills that has little or no time to read. I'm Jim Babka with DownsizeDC.org, and I say it's time for a new American revolution with the slogan, no legislation without representation. Congress cannot claim to be representing us when they don't know what's in the bills they pass. They shouldn't take the words of lobbyists. They shouldn't rely on unelected staff. And they shouldn't take orders from the party leadership because, after all, they're supposed to represent you. At DownsizeDC.org, you'll find a bill that should be the law of the land. It's called the Read the Bills Act. You can read it at our website, DownsizeDC.org. Better yet, you can use our simple system to tell your elected representatives to sponsor the Read the Bills Act. Write it down, DownsizeDC.org.
Attention, information in this one-minute message could save your life. Don't wait for the next emergency to happen. Act now to be prepared. Now, more than ever, civilians and communities must communicate with family, friends, and neighbors in the event of civil unrest, natural disasters, or other emergencies. That's why there's CivilDispatch.com. CivilDispatch.com is a universal system that can be used for a wide array of urgent notification alerts. Weather emergencies, civil unrest, emergency responders, amber alerts, school or business closings, any need-to-know situation. CivilDispatch.com is an emergency dispatch communication system, allowing anyone to quickly and easily send and instantaneously track emergency email and text alert notifications. CivilDispatch.com gives you the power of enterprise alerting without the enterprise cost. Don't find yourself unprepared. Learn more and become a member at CivilDispatch.com. That's CivilDispatch.com, civilian emergency dispatch system. Peace through preparedness.
What is the most abundant resource on Earth? Water. It's essential for sustaining life. but it's not always the most available. When disaster strikes, water quickly vanishes from store shelves, like it did during 9/11, Katrina, Japan, and in Joplin. 3 days without water and your body begins to shut down. Don't risk being without an abundant supply of water when the next disaster hits. Get a FloJack hand well pump. The affordable FloJack drops right into almost any well and is easy to install without having to remove the existing pump, giving you immediate access to plenty of cool, clean water. You could risk your family's health on a limited supply of stored water, or you could be prepared with the reliable, affordable FloJack backup hand pump kit for only $3.99 complete. See how it works at FloJack.com, spelled FloJak.com. Be sure to spell FloJak.com or call 855-4-FloJack, 855-4-FloJack. That's 855-435-6525. Proudly made in America. FloJack hand well pumps. Peace of mind in a box.
We all know the importance of having storable foods, but what about when the food runs out? What then? For real food independence, you need a supply of non-hybrid seeds. Introducing the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. The Survival Seed Vault is sealed for freshness and includes 20 varieties of easy-to-grow non-hybrid seeds for only $37.95. For less than $40, you've got real food independence. And the Survival Seed Vault includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions. Imagine the barter power you'll have when the food supply does collapse. Right now, save $9 instantly when you buy three or more Survival Seed Vaults from MyPatriotSupply.com. Same-day shipping on all orders, plus free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness products at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves. 855-453 is the number. 1-855-450-3733. You can join us on our website over at freetalklive.com and enjoy the features that await you there. You can support the show if you'd like. Become an amplifier at amp.freetalklive.com. AMP stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote. And the idea is we will take $3 a month in from you, invest it in the show, and get on more radio stations around the country, bring more internet listeners on board as well. Hopefully, coming next week, we'll be able to announce at least one, maybe two more stations to come on board here with Free Talk Live. And it's all thanks to listeners like you becoming Free Talk Live amplifiers. You get perks, too, like access to the AmpOnly call-in lines, the AmpOnly forum podcast, which is minus the podcast does not have the usual recorded commercials that you hear if you normally download the podcast. So you get some perks over at amp.freetalklive.com. And joining you tonight, it is Ian here.
JJ.
And Mark.
We started the show out with a piece from Radley Balco over at HuffingtonPost.com. And Radley Balco is really the go-to guy when it comes to covering a lot of police abuse. Actually, I would say he's one of two. William Norman Griggs, another real kick-butt writer. And Radley Balco is also one of those guys. He's the guy who publishes a lot about police raids and how they're just, you know, 40,000 police raids every single year in this country, and most of them are for, you know, possession of drugs, which, of course, is crazy. The idea that these peaceful people should be having their doors kicked in and their families held at gunpoint and their dogs shot. And so he does great work. And thanks to the Huffington Post for helping promote what he's doing. In this case, he's talking about a pullover that happened to some Trekkies. They're on their way back from a convention where they get a warning for weaving across traffic, allegedly. And then before they're let go, the officers stops him real quick, and he says, basically, let me ask you a question real quick. And the driver, Huff, agrees to the questioning. He then asks him a series of questions, the rolling no questions, about whether you're transporting any drugs, weapons, or cash. And I'm going to guess that the reason for these rolling no questions is so he can follow up with another no question, something like, you know, you ask a bunch of questions where the answer is no, and then you ask another question like, do you mind if I search? And so the person saying no, they're used to saying no. No, I don't have any drugs. No, I don't have any weapons. No, I don't have the... And then the answer to, do you mind if I search, they might just spit out no, because it
because of the, it's an old sales tactic, yeah. isn't it, Mark?
Right. Yeah,
but in sales, it's a yes tactic, right? You want to get them to answer yes questions?
I think you want them to commit to a position, you know, obviously. What's wrong with asking the question, do you have something illegal on you? Either way, you've gotten a good thing out of asking the question. If they say no, that they don't have anything illegal upon them, then they're committed to the position of not having anything illegal upon them, and you've started the conversation about whether or not they've, you know, you know, because the police officer has the power to search if they said yes. Obviously, he could search then. And then, you know, people want to prove their innocence. No, I don't have it.
And you, as you said in the position thing, you know, you start getting them to say no to certain things, and then you ask another question that you try to get them to contradict a former question, obviously, mm-hmm. so that you can say, well, wait a minute, now your story's changing. And now all of a sudden the person's feeling nervous and guilty, and then they'll just spill the beans on whatever. Imagine that.
Collinsville Police Chief Scott Williams, who's seen the dash cam video in question, tells Huffington Post, I don't have any reason to doubt the integrity of any of our officers, but we'll do our due diligence and look into that. If we find any of our officers is taking shortcuts or violating someone's civil rights, the officer will be fired. You believe that one, right?
I think that officers take shortcuts all the time. People take shortcuts all the time. To assume that they do everything by the letter of the law, the way it is supposed to be done, is to assume that all employees do all of their work by the book.
Huffington Post was unable to reach Officer Richard for comment. He's the guy that pulled the car over. During the questioning, Richard tries several times to get Huff, the driver, to admit to having marijuana in his car, even if only a small amount for personal use. Huff says he has none. I would just like to go on my way if I could, he tells Richard.
Now, this really bothers me when he says this part. I'd like to go on my way if I could. So here you have a...
He was supposedly told he could go earlier.
Well, he wasn't told he could go. He was, it was a sort of a dance around
the
idea that he could go.
The subtle chapter close.
But here you have a citizen, I'm using my air quotes, asking a public servant, there's the air quotes again, for his help. He's asking somebody that was supposed to be our employee, supposed to be there to help us, for some help. He says, I'd like to go now if I could. Could you quote it for me again?
I would just like to go on my way if I could.
That's what he says to this person that's supposed to be there to help him and protect his rights, his freedom, his liberty, who has sworn an oath to the Constitution of the United States of America, which does not put any infringements upon Mr. Huff's abilities. It only puts infringements on the officers. So this is where this officer, as far as I'm concerned, I don't care about anything else. He steps out of the line of doing what the spirit of what he was hired for.
Well, if he was trying to help somebody, he wouldn't have pulled him over in the first place.
I don't think that that's necessarily true.
He'd go after real criminals who are actually hurting people.
I don't think that's necessarily true.
I don't need your help. I'm driving just fine. Thanks.
Right. Well,
I didn't put anyone in danger.
We, the citizenry, as a greater whole, certainly want our roads to be safe to conduct. And that is what the purpose of the police officers out there doing traffic patrol are for. So if you claim this claim that he's weaving in and out of lanes, I think is flimsy at best. But yes, at this point, with the way roads are owned and delivered at this point, yes, we need police officers there to some kind of law enforcement needs to be handling that particular aspect. But once he's free to go and he asks the civil servant for help in this area, that's when the Rubicon has been crossed, in my opinion.
Well, I think it was crossed right out the gate because he pulled these guys over because they're, a couple guys in a car, probably fairly, on the younger side.
You're just making assumptions.
And, well, you know that that's what cops do. They see young people in a car.
I think so.
They pull it over. They make an excuse to pull it over.
Yeah.
And he was right. These guys don't know their rights.
So, we continue. Let's see. Huff. So, during the questioning, he tries to get him to admit to having pot. He says he has none, asks him if he could, says, I'd like to go my way if I could. Richard, the officer, says that he's going to bring out his canine and do an outside sweep. Richard pats down.
Now, they could basically do this at any time to anybody, but supposedly he's able to drive away, too.
Reshirt pats down Huff and Seton and takes the dog around the car twice. He tells Huff that on the second trip, the dog has alerted to the presence of drugs, but did so at the front of the car, out of the view of Reshirt's dashboard camera.
Oh, really? That's convenient. The front of the car, really? Wow, weed in the front of a car? I mean, to me, there's a big smelly engine between the passenger compartment where one might have marijuana and the front of the car.
He explains that because the front of the car is downwind, the drug scent would most likely register with the dog at the front of the car.
Ho, ho, that's rich.
Yeah. The dog's alert gives Reshirt probable cause for a thorough hand search of Huff's car, as well as Huff and Seton's luggage and personal belongings. Now, that's one...
Wow.
That's one sentence in a paragraph, but let's just remind you, when a cop searches your car, it's not a quick little, in most cases, it's not a quick little in the glove box out. No, it's they'll pull your seats out if necessary. They're taking all of their luggage. They're going through everything in the luggage.
Yeah.
This is an hour on the side of the road.
This is humiliating, personal privacy, intervention.
People are craning their necks to look at you as they go by. You're standing there on the side of the road. There's a guy with flashing lights behind you. I mean, this couldn't be any more humiliating.
No doubt. So,
well, they could be naked, I suppose.
Reshirt finds no drugs. He does claim to find shake beneath the seats of Huff's car.
This is utter bullcrap, and this is a
shake,
a lie.
If he found the stuff at the bottom of a bag of pot,
right.
If he found shake, then why didn't he do a test on it? And if he didn't do a test on it and found marijuana, then why didn't he arrest these boys?
That says
this is dirt.
The officer must
have been. This is a damn lie.
Must have been why the dog alerted. He says Reshirt never collected.
Must have been.
Reshirt never collected any of the alleged shake for testing. However, and Huff says
he's
now,
a canine officer. He trains this animal.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, he can say that it said anything he wants. It's nonsense.
Huff says that it is nonsense, and after an hour of questioning and searching by Reshirt, Huff and Seton leave Collinsville with only a warning for an unsafe lane change.
An hour. So they had an hour worth of searching and humiliation as they were trying to travel home after a convention, and I'm sure they're probably tired or something to that effect.
When you're on your way home, getting there is one thing, but when you're on your way, you want to get there as soon as you can because you've left whatever time you have to arrive, so another hour would be a problem. But leaving, you're so tired, you just want to get home. Let's just get home.
It'll make you want to go to St. Louis again, having this experience.
What do they care? He's not even in St. Louis. This officer isn't a St. Louis officer. This is just some podunk Nowheresville, cow pie.
That's not to say this wouldn't happen in St. Louis either, Mark. This stuff happens all across the country.
I'm just saying that different law enforcement agencies have different sets of incentives. There's a place in Florida called Waldo, which is notorious for pulling people over because it's a Nowheresville. They get a huge amount of revenue
from
tickets.
They sure do. It's a significant portion of the town's operating budget, if I'm not mistaken. 855-450-FREE. It's so bad the AAA bought a billboard alerting people to the speed trap coming up when you go through Waldo. More coming up here about this case in moments.
As a smoker, you know traditional cigarettes are unhealthy, and the taxes feed the very beast stealing your freedom to smoke. That's why the Vapor Station offers an assortment of electronic cigarette kits. Each rechargeable, refillable kit is an effective, affordable alternative to smoking. No combustion, no tar, no foul lingering odors, and no smoke, secondhand or otherwise. Just inhale pure enjoyment and exhale vapor. Take a puff just about anywhere without getting hassled. Get your e-cigarette kit now at VaporStation.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. Are you looking for a concealed carry holster? Crossbreed Holsters is the home of the world-famous Super Tuck, the most comfortable concealed carry holster on the market today. Try one out and see how truly discreet and comfortable carrying concealed can be. And find out why we call it the ugliest holster you'll ever love. We are the standard others try to imitate.
Get the original. Get your Super Tuck at CrossbreedHolsters.com. Again, that's CrossbreedHolsters.com.